What do we do about it? Speaking of interpretations of reality, do you know the story about Mullah Nasruddin? He was a Sufi wise man, kind of an enlightened idiot. Best way I can describe him. A real character. And one day Nasruddin is walking into the marketplace, and two men were shaking their fists at each other, arguing. And there was a crowd gathering around them, all this hubbub, and someone said, "Oh, there's Mullah Nasruddin. He'll know what to do. He'll know who's right." So Nasruddin walked up and said to the first man, "Well, what's your story?" And the first man told his side of the story. And Nasruddin said, "You're right." And the second man said, "Wait a minute. You haven't heard my side yet." And he told his side of the story. And Nasruddin said, "You're right." And a bystander said, "Mullah, they can't both be right here." And he scratched his head and said, "You're right." We're all right. Everybody's right from their own viewpoint, their own interpretations of life. There's a link between the mind and the emotions. Many emotional upsets begin in the mind when the mind resists what is. That's when stress happens. You want to know a good definition of stress? Stress happens when the mind resists what is. No resistance, no stress. When you can learn to say, "Yes," you know, everything that happens. In my other book, The Laws of Spirit, the law of surrender, the law of acceptance is called the first law of spirit. Whatever happens, you go to a restaurant, you order something you really wanted, and they go, we're out. And you go, "Oh, well, that's okay, because I really wanted this." Have you ever seen that bumper sticker? It said, "If you don't like the way I drive, get off the sidewalk." Some people, they're standing there, a car comes at them on the sidewalk, and the first thing they see, the car, they go, "You shouldn't be on the sidewalk," boom, and they get hit. Somebody else, they just jump out of the way and go, "Whoa, thanks, I had a chance to test my reflexes, thanks a lot." That's the law of surrender. You make use of whatever happens. You've heard it all, you know, get lemons, make lemonade, right? Most of the time we get upset, we're resisting something. Let's say you're in line at the bank. You've waited a long time. It's Friday afternoon. It's almost closed. You've been waiting for 20 minutes. And you have a little toddler with you. You're holding their hand. And you just get up to the front of the line when somebody walks right in the door, looks around at the long line, steps right in front of you and says, "I'm in a hurry." What are you probably going to feel? Probably a little bit put off. Why would you be angry? Because they shouldn't do that, right? There's that, I mean, is the baby next to you going to be upset? No, probably not, because they haven't learned the rules yet. They haven't supposed to wait, you're supposed to butt in line, you're supposed to wait your turn. They haven't learned all the subtext, like, why do they pick me to butt in front of? Do I look like a wimp or what? And all those things that come up in our mind, at play and play and play. Instead of the objective thing, if somebody walked up, said something, stepped in here, and it took you another 35 seconds to get to the teller. The upset came because of the belief. So you can choose what you're going to do in the situation. The point is, you're not just sitting there mumbling yourself, muttering, you know, "They shouldn't be doing that." You just respond to the situation naturally, but not through all these shoulds and oughts. So let's talk about liberating attention at the source of the mind. The classic method for liberating attention and getting to know the mind and transcend it is meditation. Meditation can be done many different ways. Sitting up, standing up, lying down, moving still. Many different meditation practices. It doesn't have to be the classic sitting where you sit in the full lotus. I know people who say they can't meditate because they can't sit in the full lotus. You don't need to. You just need to sit in a stable position. You can be on a chair. It looks cool to be in a full lotus, I have to admit. It looks very cool. But that's flexibility, and that's people who are trained from youth, you know, certain legs to do that. You can sit on a regular chair with your back straight in a balanced position, neither leaning forward into the future nor backward into the past, but here and now, sitting calmly. When you do that, when you close your eyes or even keep your eyes half open and look down at the floor, different meditation methods do different styles, different postures. Some have the eyes open, some have the eyes closed. Point is, when you do that, you're no longer distracted by whatever you're doing. Washing dishes, walking, you're sitting, there's nothing else to do but start to become aware of thoughts and feelings flowing through your psyche. So you start to notice thoughts. How many of us have tried meditation once or twice or three times or for a week, but we gave it up because we thought we were supposed to sit down and quiet our mind? Right? And we said, I'm not very good at this. It's getting noisier. I can't quiet my mind, right? Well, that's not what meditation is about. It's not about quieting the mind. Great misunderstandings. When you sit down, you start noticing thoughts. And what you're doing is you're practicing enlightenment. You're practicing enlightenment, at least sitting enlightenment. Someone once asked a Zen master, what is enlightenment? He said, just sitting. Because what you're practicing is non-reactivity. You get an angry thought. You have a picture you're making of this person and what happened earlier in the day. And you just sit and breathe and let the thought go on. And then you just sit. And then a sad thought comes up. And you just sit and notice the thought and go on. You begin to see the mind for what it is. And you know what? It doesn't take that long to see the mind for what it is. Someone came up to me self-righteously once and said, I've been meditating 35 years. And I said, gee, you're kind of slow, aren't you? The reason I said that was just for fun. However, there's a truth to that, because how long does it take to see the mind for what it is? It's like reading the newspaper every day. You go, oh, more news today. Somebody was killed, somebody different. Oh, and there's a crash. And there's the stock market, and there's the funnies, and somehow it all blends in together after a while. The mind is thoughts bubbling, thoughts bubbling, thoughts bubbling, 10,000 thoughts a second. Meditation is useful as a fitness exercise. We could relate this to the third gateway, energize your body. But think about it. What was fitness in the old days? It was muscles, big muscles, Charles Atlas. Back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, big muscles meant you were fit. Men were considered more fit than women because they had bigger muscles generally. Then we got smarter. Then we started, Ken Cooper and others said, no, aerobic capacity, not muscles, that's a more meaningful description. So we didn't throw the muscles away.